Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to the Luke and Pete Show on Thursday, the 6th of February, with me, Luke Moore.
And me, Sam Ashton.
Sam Smith. Sam Ashton. Is
depends
that what you
want
to be?
Depends where I want to be, yeah.
You should have briefed me beforehand that you were going to call yourself that.
Sorry about that.
Sam's with us while Pete's still in Japan. Probably, I'm going to say getting up to no good. Almost certainly getting up to no good. So Sam's deputising. One half of the fantastic Set Meals podcast. We'd like to showcase our other Stakhanov shows on here on Luke and Pete Show. And what better way to do it than with Sammy Smith there in the seat. How you doing, mate? How's your week been?
My week's been good. My week's been very joyous, very mellow thus far.
Settling into your new house?
Oh, aye. Settling right in.
Have you found any rodents?
No rodents. A lot of spiders in the cellar.
Have you got a cellar?
Big cellar. Very, very large indeed.
What's the difference between that and the basement? Same thing.
I think so. Cellar sounds better though, no?
Cellar sounds
a bit less murdery.
I was about to say that, yeah. Basement sounds like it could be that you've got a kind of weed-addicted 18-year-old son living down there.
Yeah.
Or
give it time.
Human bodies in there.
Yeah, exactly.
Cellar can sound like, for me, cellar is, it's wine.
Yeah, wine.
It's sophisticated.
Well, do you know what? The dude that sold us the place, he was a wine collector and he's left his wine rack there, ready to be filled.
Yeah.
Ready to be slotted in. Not that I know anything about wine at all.
So you've been to Hardy's.
I've been to Majestic Wines on the high street. Thank
got
you.
Some Lee Frau milk and a couple of Lamborghinis. Yeah, get her in there.
Get
stock them
in.
Up.
Yeah, why stock wouldn't them you? Up. How's your week?
It's been all right. It's been pretty good. Pretty busy. You know me, keeping busy, man.
Oh, aye.
I'm always tearing around at 100 mile an hour, aren't I?
Mm-hmm.
I actually, depressingly, when it comes to work, I actually see the Luke and Pete show as a nice kind of diversion. Have a bit of a relax. Shoot the shit with me old pal. Or in this case, you.
What about this week?
just do my thing. We didn't talk much about Super Bowl. Did you watch the Super Bowl on Sunday?
I didn't actually watch it. I did watch the main event though, which was the halftime show with J-Lo and Shakira.
The thing is, an Americophile, right? Mm-hmm. I like American things. I like going there. Obviously, family and stuff. It's a great place to go to. But back in the day, I think I wanted to not like the Super Bowl halftime mm-hmm. show because I think, oh, you know what?
It's a bit naff.
Yeah, it's not what it's about. Yeah. We're here to watch a sporting event. I would be like, what about the players? Their muscles are going to cool down. They need to stay warm. It's half an hour. What's happening here? Keep them busy. But you have to say, every time you see it, yeah, it's good, isn't it?
It is good.
It is good.
And then you realise that it is as much about that as the sport. Because it's America, and they love all that
and they
shit.
They understand and respect that everything is an extension of the entertainment industry.
Yeah, definitely.
Anything.
But ever since I watched that documentary on Netflix that you put me on to about Aaron Hernandez.
Oh, yeah.
I can't look at American football the same way.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Up until fairly recently, the halftime shows used to be like, I think they used to be like marching bands and stuff like that.
What was the first big one? The first sort of,
I'm not sure,
big headline.
But like the interesting thing is, like, I mean, it's now seen as like a real stamp of quality if you're a recording artist, right?
Oh yeah,
if you're asked to do the Super Bowl, yeah, you're big, right?
Yeah.
Well, it was like if you look in 1989, it was the theme was 1950s rock and roll. It's the most 1989 thing ever. The official title of the halftime show sound was Bebop Bamboozled in 3D.
In 3D.
And the performer, Elvis Presto. Never heard of him.
God, gross.
Never heard
like
of him.
It's like walking into a shop and they haven't got the official songs on.
Before Elvis Presto performed, there was an introduction by Bob Costas and a 3D commercial for Diet Coke.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
How times have changed.
If you went to a Super Bowl, who would you, if you're in your ideal situation, who would you like as the halftime performer? Because if we go back over the last, say, 15 years, you go back to, say, 2005, I'll list them in order. Actually, no, let's go back to 2004 because it was Jessica Simpson, Janet Jackson, P. Diddy, Nelly, Kid Rock and Justin Timberlake. And I think that might have been the old wardrobe malfunction year.
Right.
After that, Paul McCartney. After that, 2006, The Stones. 2007, Prince. 2008, Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. 2009, Bruce Springsteen. 10, The Who. 11, Black Eyed Peas. Meh. 12, Madonna.
The thing is, the year the Black Eyed Peas played,
yeah.
Usher and Slash also played.
It's a mishmash.
That is bizarre.
Yeah, that's a mishmash.
That is bizarre.
It's like when Bruno Mars played and introduced the Red Hot Chili Peppers onto the stage. Yeah. They did Give It Away, which is like not even the recent, not as good, but nonetheless popular Red Hot Chili Peppers stuff.
I'm going honestly someone like a mash of like Kanye West, Jay-Z, Beyonce, just like entertainment, but enough sort of jeopardy in the fact that like Kanye could go a bit west and like beat Man the Pan, could just go a bit weird,
yeah,
and you don't know what you're going to get. But also, there's enough there that you know you're going to get something good.
I don't think they trust Kanye West to do
Absolutely not. Imagine the stadium's burning to the ground. Yeah. The stadium is burning to the floor.
The rehearsal the day before, just a load of open-mouthed organisers going, What is this?
What have we done?
It is too late to change. Is it all good? Okay, good.
Get Maroon 5 in.
So you would choose Kanye West?
I think so. I like Kanye West. He gets bad rep, but... Or someone like, I mean, if we're wishing, like someone like the Beatles, you know? Not going to happen.
Yeah.
But you said if, you know, whatever you want.
So if you could change...
Who are you having? You're having Jepsen.
Carly Rae would be great. She's not big enough, though.
No, does that matter? Doesn't matter.
No. I think Pete thinks that the fact that I like Carly Rae Jepsen's a bit weird. And my wife did say that I was the only heterosexual man she's ever met who liked Carly Rae Jepsen.
Why do you like her so much?
She's great. I think she's a good songwriter. I think she's a good performer. She's a good singer. I like her.
You passionately like her.
I do.
You do.
It's not an act.
I know.
It's not an act, brother.
What was the one? Was it in Atlanta recently when Maroon 5 headlined? And that was quite controversial because Atlanta has like a massive music scene.
Maroon 5 was last year. Maroon 5 were last year at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium in
Maroon
Atlanta.
Maroon 5,
yeah.
Travis Scott, Big Boy. That is a weird support act for Maroon 5.
But Big Boy is from Atlanta.
No, I know. Why isn't he headlining though? Get Outkast, man.
Yeah.
That'd be so good.
That would be good. Yeah, that'd be brilliant.
Top draw.
Got one half of Outkast there.
Yeah,
with Big Boy. So you didn't stay up and watch it?
Nah, no? I'm not arse, man. At all. Nah, not arse. Did you stay up?
Nah.
What time was it on? Like 4?
Nah, it's only 5 hours behind, so it'd be... All right, I think it started at about midnight, maybe.
That's not too bad, really.
Nah.
I just don't find any enjoyment.
By the time it's finished, it's like 4 a.m. though.
Yeah, true.
Got to go to work the next day.
It's just not very good.
Well, anyway, what else has been going? What's caught your eye this week?
What has caught my eye this week, Luke Moore? I got absolutely ridiculed on our joint WhatsApp group about my egg making technique.
Okay, yeah.
My scrambled egg making technique that I tweeted out saying, let me find my tweet.
You said, let's make it clear. The thing is, the reason you got ridiculed, I remember this, and the reason you got ridiculed is because you were quite combative with your opinion on it.
Let me make it clear. If you vigorously scramble your eggs rather than folding them gracefully, you're basic.
You're tacky and I hate you.
I stick by it. I stick by the statement because I remember listening to an interview with this guy called Alvin Kailan who runs a few restaurants called Egg Slut, which are like really big in the States.
What a name.
I know. Started as like a food van in LA and then they opened a restaurant. Anyway, so and he always talked about how you should put the eggs in, like whisk them beforehand so they're mixed in a bowl and then put them into a pan. Like a frying pan, leave them for 15, 20 seconds and then sort of like turn them in the pan.
Yeah.
And kind of they make like this like rose shape basically. And they're kind of like scrambled and kind of like a bit messy, but they're also kind of together.
I dig that.
And they're being branded now as like Australian eggs.
Right.
Australian folded eggs.
So I don't like mine too sloppy.
Yeah.
And I don't like them overcooked as well, mm-hmm. but they go watery.
Mm-hmm.
But so a lot of people will say you cook them low and slow.
Yeah,
they're more creamy. But I like to cook them quick.
Yeah,
I like the fold. So I'll my scrambled egg recipe is very basic. Chuck the eggs in a mixing bowl mm-hmm. or jug, whatever. Load of salt and pepper. Mix them up with a fork till you're happy with the consistency. Get them in the pan and, like you say, just gracefully kind of mm-hmm. fold them. so they're not too scrambled
up. All about the fold.
But I know what people listening are thinking, and they're going to email in their droves, hello@lukeandpeach.com. They're going to email in and they're going to say, you're describing an omelette there. I'm not.
No, it's not an omelette.
I don't mean an omelette. I don't mean you flip it and then you... It's called folding. Yeah. It's different.
It is different. Get your spatula, work it around the outside of the pan, sort of bring it in. Just like, if anything, just unstick it from the bottom of that pan.
Yeah.
Shitload of butter in there. And salt it a little bit later on as well, so you get that extra salty hit.
Katie in the office, she incurred your wrath by suggesting a splash of milk in there.
Absolutely unbelievable scenes. when I saw that text come through, I thought, thank God the heat's off me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, she's taking that bullet for you, mate.
Oh my God.
You've basically, she's just jumped in front of you in
the
shot.
Time.
Yeah. Because that's just going to deaden the flavour.
Yeah, I don't enjoy that.
No. People should email in. Hello, Luca. It's not the homework for this week, but it is nevertheless a subject to talk about. hello@lukeandpeach.com. Talk to Spake Scrambled Egg Technique. Do you put anything else through it? You put a few chives through there?
Every now and then I'll put spring onion through it. And then with some like chili flakes, like red pepper flakes. But not really, no. I like it basic, a lot of butter. Would you ever put it in the microwave is the big question.
My dad makes them in the microwave.
That is an era thing, I think, because my dad does that.
I don't use butter in there.
What?
Splash of oil.
Loads of butter. Loads and loads and loads of butter.
We're back onto that empty calories thing again.
Oh, I love it.
Because I'm old and fat.
I love it. Yeah.
How many eggs would you eat in one go?
In one sitting?
Yeah.
Four.
You go four, do you?
Yeah.
I normally go three. I don't go more than three.
Yeah, I quite like four. Four more eggs than toast. I've tried to like half my toast. I used to go two slices of toast, three eggs. Now I go four eggs, one slice of toast.
And the other thing I thought you were going to bring to the table was you've found some weird, this is Donaldson-esque this weird craze on YouTube for people drinking endless bottles of water.
By the way, right, I found this the other day and you guys were talking about Pete drinking his water a few weeks ago, right? In the office.
So Pete basically took, on one of these episodes a couple of weeks ago, he took my Nalgene, which he hates inexplicably, filled it up to the top, so it's a litre, and drank it as quick as he could. And I think he did it in 26 seconds.
But I couldn't work out if that was off the back of what I found, which is a new trend of YouTubers drinking water.
No, it didn't come from that. It came from the fact that Pete rates himself as a bit of a boozer.
Right.
And I said,
hey, lad.
Oh, no, exactly. Hashtag lad.
Hey, lad alarm.
Yeah. And he couldn't obviously drink a beer in here. So I said, look, if you can drink quickly, just drink water. And he did it. But it's, I don't think it's anything to do with this YouTube thing. What is this YouTube thing?
I stumbled across this, I mean, albeit it is from The Sun, which is a bit pathetic. Bizarre new YouTube craze sees teen vloggers raking in cash with weird videos of themselves drinking endless bottles of water. And then it sends you to this the YouTube page, which is a guy called John Drinks Water, 38,000 subscribers, and all they do is just drink water.
Isn't it dangerous to drink too much, though?
I don't know, but this guy, I mean, there's a man on the screen just drinking water, and there's a screenshot of his phone, and around it are just other smaller versions of him drinking water.
Oh, it's better than the Masked Singer.
Look at that. Yeah, it is. yeah, you're not wrong.
But, you know, when I spoke to Pete a few weeks ago and said, Pete, you know, people need to, I think it might have been actually 6 months ago in the summer, and I said, Pete, you know, people need to stay hydrated, don't they? Drink water when it's hot. He was like, no.
That's not true, though, is it?
If anything, we're already 95% water. It's too much. Drink less.
For God's sake.
The man is an absolute maniac.
One popular water YouTuber, Aaron Drinks Water, said, when we reach milestones, we congratulate each other.
It smacks of a guy at the Sun online desk not knowing anything about YouTube.
Yeah, true.
And finding this and going, yeah, I'll just put that in there.
But to be fair to him, this guy's channel is all just that. It's just drinking water.
Yeah, it's not what you want.
Bizarre.
It's not what you want. What we should do now is take a quick break.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we come back, we are going to round up a load more emails. So get one lined up, Samo.
Yes, sir.
And we will set some more homework for this weekend as well. All right, bear with us a sec. We'll see you in a moment.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. No matter what you do or what industry you're in, how you communicate is key. Everything you type is equally important to collaboration, and Grammarly can help. Think of it as your AI writing partner, empowering you to communicate effectively and efficiently so you can make a bigger impact in the workplace. 96% of Grammarly users say it helps them craft more impactful writing. And as the gold standard of responsible AI, Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. By understanding your writing and context, Grammarly provides relevant, personalized suggestions. And with tone suggestions, you can navigate even the most difficult work conversations. You can also save time from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds with one click. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
The problem appears to be that we haven't got our photo ID to try and travel to Scotland, which, as far as I can remember, was in the British Isles. What can we do? We're utterly hamstrung by these thick-headed people wearing orange suits.
Welcome back to Luke and Pete's show on Thursday, 6th of February. Sam, do you find it as fascinating as Pete and I do that it's funny when posh people get angry?
Yeah, very enjoyable. Very enjoyable because I just feel like they don't know how to do it and yeah. They're pretending that they do know how to do it. I don't know that many posh people. I actually think that Charlie, who we work with, is one of the poshest people I know, and he's not even that posh. He just comes from a posh area.
Yeah.
And I imagine if Charlie got really angry, he'd turn into Hugh Grant immediately.
And yeah, and the thing that really unites them all is they get really red-faced.
Yeah, definitely.
What do you have a bit of inverted snobbery then? Because you're a down-at-heel, trodden upon Welshman.
I guess maybe. Maybe. I don't know. I never really thought of it, but yeah, perhaps I have.
Yeah.
You? Because you're
I'm conscious.
You're from a horrible place as well.
I'm conscious of that I probably am, but I try not to be. I try and take people as I find them.
Yeah, right.
But I do find it funny when... I do find it funny when really posh people do anything, really, yeah. To be honest. Yeah. So I have to understand that I probably do judge them slightly differently to other
but
people.
But I almost feel like they can't get offended because they've had a better upbringing than I.
I would love people to email...
do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I've been through the stick. You can't get offended by that. You've had a fine time.
You've got nothing to worry about.
Yeah, exactly.
I'd love people to email in, and don't be embarrassed. We're all friends here. It's a community. Email in, you know the email address, hello@lukeandpeach.com, and make your claim for being the poshest listener we've got.
Yeah, good. Send like audio clips in.
Yeah, because I met Mark Pooger. I've worked with Mark Pooger for a sports presenter. I met him last week, and he's married to a lady. He's married, literally married into the aristocracy.
Has he got posher, do you think?
Well, Jules Breese says he's quite posh anyway, but I never really... He's such a good broadcaster that he's so neutral. That type of broadcasting he does, you've got to be like 100% straight on the line neutral. Okay. And he's so good at that that you don't know. It's hard to say he's posh or he isn't. You think of like Mark Chapman's another one, sports broadcaster, obviously. Mm-hmm. He's quite northern.
Yeah.
But you couldn't really
get any... he's quite neutral, though.
Yeah. You couldn't get any socioeconomic background from him because of his work.
A bit like Robbie Savage, really.
Yeah, one of your lot.
Yeah, I know.
He's one of yours.
See, and that is a shame.
You're welcome to him.
Jesus.
So we've got some more emails about the types, more formats of beers. There was a big battle on Twitter earlier this week between some of our listeners and a podcast called If There Is Hell Below, which is a brilliant music podcast. It just gets, I think, 8 songs from basically they're wicked. Rob and Callum, they trawl all the blogs,
right?
All the places that you can find, like places like SoundCloud, places like Bandcamp, all that kind of stuff, and they read voraciously into new music.
Okay,
and they find 8 songs a show, and they play them.
Oh, sick!
And it's like a really good. They're proper like. I know this is like a wanky term, but they're proper like influencers. Mm-hmm. And Rob, one of the presenters, he is like the ambassador for the shower beer. Okay. So he reviews a shower beer every week.
Nice.
I think he stopped doing it because him and his wife had a baby, but he reviews on Instagram a shower beer every week.
Jokes.
And when he heard that we were talking about shower beers and that Pete was upset about the idea of them and people were saying, oh, I don't like them, he was like, this is the king. This is the way to consume a beer. What are you talking about? He was really upset about it. So anyway, this email came in from Justin, who says, I thought I would write in with what I consider to be the best beer type. The snowblower beer. I live in the northeast of the United States, in a typical American suburb, where we get 2 to 4 decent amounts of snow per year. This allows me to wheel out my oversized snowblower, help my neighbours, and enjoy several cold ones while sticking it to the man in the process.
My God.
I like this so much, I will actually drive to the liquor store and purchase beer prior to a storm just for this purpose.
That's so good.
I can't think of a better way to enjoy a crisp cold beer, and I will tell you why. Number one. No one will hassle you. You're removing snow from their walkways and driveways, saving them time and effort. Number two, the snow next to your garage can hold and keep your beers perfectly cold. You need a minimum of 3, one for your driveway, one for the houses to your left, and one for the houses to your right. Number three, you're working up some warmth handling the snowblower, which makes the cold beer taste even better. Number four, you are pushing a loud machine, so you can claim you can't hear anyone that does complain. Number five, you can stick it to the man with very little chance of having to actually face him. Ideal. A close kin to the snowblower beer is the Halloween beer, where yet again I could wander through my neighbourhood drinking in a costume and no one will say a thing.
He puts across some very valid points. Mm. I would never consider a beer in the snow, but he is...
Skiing?
I mean, yeah, all right, fine, but I mean, if you're in wherever, in bloody Portsmouth, and it's snowing outside, you don't want to be wandering. It's just cold. It's horrible, but he makes it sound delightful.
This is the thing. So at Christmas, I love a mulled wine.
But this is it. This is it.
It's warm.
You want drinks to warm you through. Your whiskies, your mulled wine.
You're going into your secret alcohol cupboard and getting out your whiskey.
Yeah, damn right. I would never think about cracking open a cold one in the snow.
No.
It's just not enjoyable.
I've got one more type of beer here. I've got one more list of types of beers here, and I'll hand the emails over to you, Sam. This is from Ant. He regularly emails in. Ant from Alicante. He said, I'm moved to write in by the very mention of beer on your last episode. Here are my favourite types of beer. Number four, the bus stop beer. Straight out of work, you've got 10 to 12 minutes to wait for the bus. What do you do?
I'm not having that.
You guessed it.
I'm not having that.
No?
No, I'm cutting in there. I'm not having that.
It's a bit depressing.
That's poor. That is poor.
Okay, number three, the airport beer. Is that a classic for you, Sam?
Yeah, time of day, though, is a very risky one with that. You don't want to be one of those guys 3:30 in the morning in Wetherspoons drinking a Guinness.
They all do it, don't they?
That's gross, though, isn't it?
There's not one man
in that Wetherspoons that's actually enjoying that pint of Guinness. It is not an enjoyable thing to drink.
I would love people to get in touch about that, because I think to myself, if I've got to do an early flight, which does happen, I get to the airport for 5 in the morning. I probably want a nice cup of tea, a bit of food.
Yes.
I don't want a beer. The people who do it, are they actually enjoying it?
I don't think anyone's enjoying it. I once went on a stag do, had a pint of Guinness because I wanted to fit in, and had a fry up, and it was very unenjoyable. I'm pretty sure I had food poisoning. It was vile.
Yeah.
Gatwick Airport, Wetherspoons. Disgusting place to drink a pint.
Nah. Well, Ant says, I'm not the world's keenest flyer, but the whole operation is made much more palatable by 3 or 4 pints.
I don't think I agree.
Yeah. Number two, cooking beer. I love cooking me, and the experience is so much more enjoyable if a few cold ones are on hand to quaff between all that chopping, stirring, and whatnot.
Yeah.
And number one, bath time beer. I'm not having that.
No.
You can't tell me a bath time beer is better than a shower beer.
No, not at all. The only thing that might raise it above a shower beer is getting one of those inflatable floaty things the beer goes in on the water and just like
warms it up
around.
Man.
I know, but it bobs around as well. Satisfying.
It does. Yeah, that's, to be fair, it does. All right, what you got there, mate?
Henry Payne got in touch about his bedtime routine.
Okay, great.
My bedtime routine consists of my wife making me double check every single window outside the bedroom, and I mean every window, that it's closed. Although with the doors being locked, as well as checking that every appliance is switched off at the wall before bed. Annoyingly, it comes from me telling her stories of the times my house was burgled as a kid. For a while, we also had a kettlebell sat in front of our closed bedroom door to stop home invaders getting into our room whilst we slept.
It's like someone got sat home alone.
Absolutely terrifying.
Yeah.
He also goes on to say, on the beer subject, beers on a rowboat is massively underrated. Go to Richmond, grab a rowboat with your mates and a box of beers. Loads of fun.
It's a lesser spotted beer.
It really is.
I can't remember the last time I was in a rowboat.
It's back to the posh people chat we were talking about earlier.
Yeah. So speaking of house burglaries, have I ever told you the story about when my house was burgled while I was in it?
No.
So when I was living in the house before I'm in now, I was with my ex-girlfriend, and about 6:30 in the morning, I was kind of conscious of this kerfuffle. It was in the summer, and the flat was tiny. It was just one bedroom the size of the studio and a living room with a tiny little kitchen and bathroom off it, and that was it. And we had left the windows open because it was so hot, and we were on the first floor, but there was an extension on the ground floor outside the window. So it was a bit of a stupid thing to do, but it was a nice area. So at 6:30 in the morning, obviously it's bright daylight because it's summer, and I noticed this kerfuffle, looked around, and my ex-girlfriend wasn't in the bed. Well, that's a bit crazy. So I didn't know what had happened. So I got up to check, and as I went through to the living room was like in an absolute state, and she had basically chased off a burglar
who had
jumped back out the window and legged it.
What?
And what he had done is he had got through the window, took a sleeping bag out of the sleeping bag, if you know what I mean, mm-hmm. and started filling it with CDs, DVDs, and all that kind of stuff, put it over his shoulder and jumped out the window. And it was weird.
What a weird time of day to break in, though.
Yeah.
Because surely people are always in at that time, right?
Well, the detective who was assigned to the case, you'll be no doubt surprised to know they didn't catch him, said that it's a desperation burglary. Like it's a drug addict or something. And they've seen the window open and they thought, I'm going to go for it.
And nicked CDs.
But
the thing
I found weird was, they nicked a load of CDs and one copy of Little Miss Sunshine on DVD. They went through all the other DVDs and left them there.
It's so weird, isn't it?
Yeah, and I don't know if it was a man or a woman, but it was kind of weird because the way he said it was a desperation kind of drug addict burglary is because, as you've already mentioned, he probably knows that we're in mm-hmm. at that time in the morning, but he's not trying to be quiet.
Yeah, he just overrides. He's just like get out. And
But you'd think like a cat burglar would care. But like, I mean,
I remember I got burgled when I was a kid, when I was like 8 or 9, and they took loads, like just, I don't remember what they took. I just remember my mum coming to school and pulling me out of school and just being like, yeah, we'll be burgled. This is rubbish. And like loads of my neighbours being like, oh yeah, we actually saw someone walking down the street with a black bin bag slung over their shoulder and we didn't really think of anything. I was like, guys, that is suspect.
Where's your community spirit?
what is going on?
Yeah.
The other weird thing about that is that we had like a window that opened kind of upwards. Like pulled upwards. He'd used a CD player to prop the window open, but didn't actually take it.
That's mental.
You're an idiot.
That is mental.
Like an idiot.
Were you in the house at the time?
No, I was in school. My mum was in work.
Oh, you said, yeah. But your mum was at work?
Yeah.
Because it happened to us one morning. I grew up in quite a rough part of town, and one morning we went downstairs and they hadn't actually got in, mm-hmm. but they tried to crowbar open the patio doors.
Right.
And so I remember my dad being like really pissed off about it. And I think that day he went and got a lock kit and he installed a deadlock into the living room door.
Right.
So if they came, or to the back room door. So if they came in, they couldn't get past that. So they couldn't get to us.
Yeah, nice.
I don't know if it happened again, but anyway. I mean, it's not great, is it? People burgling people's houses. Naughty, if you ask me. What about this from, he hasn't left his name. Oh, Danny. He says, hello, gents. Just wondering if either of you have ever played the mostly unknown N64 game, Buck Bumble. Heard of that one, Sam?
It did spark some nostalgia in my mind, yeah.
Okay, I haven't heard of it. It wasn't great. It didn't do well enough to warrant a sequel, but the soundtrack was absolutely banging. The game's main theme tune is an absolute classic house banger. Here it is if you've never heard it before. So we played quite a lot of game theme tunes over the years. Let's see if this one's any good. Time to rock with
the bigger debug. Wow. What about now? It's time to rock with the bigger debug. I imagine the burglars are listening to this when they're breaking into houses.
This is fucking brilliant. Can you believe how good this is?
It's unbelievable.
I'm playing the whole thing.
It's good.
Really good. So yeah, are we all good with the release of the video game? Is it on time? It's not on time, no. And how's it rate? How's it been reviewed? Badly.
Really,
you spent
cool.
all the money on the theme.
Yeah.
The theme is brilliant.
Looking great. Yeah. Past the main menu though,
yeah.
we're lost.
If they
we're in
turn
the dark.
It on and just leave it, it's the best game ever.
The beauty of it is it's so good they don't want to leave it.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
That's all they get to.
That sounds fun. It's absolutely amazing.
So
I
bizarre.
Think that's the best theme show I've heard in ages.
So weird.
I'll tell you what, if Janet Jackson heard that, she'd rip it off instantly.
I feel
as she did famously with the Sonic theme tune. All right, listen, let's get out of here. We're out of time now. Sam, it's been an absolute pleasure to
thank
have
you for
you,
having me. I really appreciate it.
Have you on this week. And just give people where they can go and get Set Meals.
Instagram and Twitter, at Set Meals Podcast, and search Set Meals on iTunes, Apple Podcast, whatever you're calling it now, Spotify.
It's a weekly show
things.
About food everywhere around the world, right?
Yes, correct.
Okay, but in some cases, mostly just within the mile of London where you live.
Correct.
Okay, great. Look forward to that. Thank you very much, mate. It's been a pleasure. We'll be back on Monday. Might even be with another guest host, so hold on to your hats for that. We'll keep you posted. Thanks very much for listening. Hello at lukeandpeacher.com to get in touch. We'd love to hear from you. Your homework this week, before I forget, is when was the last time you spoke to a stranger and why? When was the last time you spoke to a stranger and why? Email us it. That's your homework this weekend.
This was a Stakhanov production.
You smashed it, kid. Well done.
Lovely.
That's wicked.
Thank you, mate.
Enjoyed it. Did you like it?
Yeah, very fun.
Quite easy, right?
Very fun.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this
yeah.
shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with something, you know.
And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.